Welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. Arizona Boomer Radio gives voice to 1.4 million boomers throughout the Grand Canyon State and beyond. Each show has a different guest and a different topic. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now here are the hosts of the show, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And good morning on the West Coast. Good afternoon on the East Coast. This is Arizona Boomer Boomer Radio with Boomer and the Babe. We're going to have an interesting guest today. Before we get to our guest, I wanted to remind everybody, first of all, I am Pete Peters. Deborah's out of the studio today. But stop by at boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that the Boomer and the Babe is involved in. See if there's any way that we might be able to help you with your business and some of the things that you do. If you're interested in any of the products or projects that we're involved in, just drop us a note, drop us a line via the email, host@boomerandthebabe.com, and we'll be able to get back to you and discuss whatever your needs might be. Today I have an interesting gentleman as a guest. His name is Asaf Wand. He is the founder of Sabi.com. It's a new health and wellness startup company that prides itself on creating super cool, well-designed, and highly functional aging assistance products for the elderly to mid-boomer crowd. Welcome to the Boomer and the Babe program on Arizona Boomer Radio, Asaf. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you. I was intrigued with our conversation we were having before we came on air, and I want to kind of continue with that online. But before we get into what you do, how you do it, because there's a lot of background there that I think is very, very interesting for people that are in thinking about doing any kind of a business, I'd like you to give us a little bit of background about yourself personally, where you're from, anything you feel that you would like people to know about you, starting back as far back as you want and coming forward to where we are today.
Okay, I'll try to make the kind of like the short version of it. It's very eclectic and all over the place. So you can hear from my weird and bad accent that I'm Israeli. Like every Israeli, I've been to the military, spent 5 years in the military, then studied law and finance, had to finance basically my undergrad, so started working as a trader during the night and studied during the day, working on the U.S. market due to the time difference. It was the heydays of the internet bubble, and that was the time, so after a year in the investment bank as a low-level trader, I decided we can leave the trading floor and start an online trading business, which we've done together with several friends. Been through the entire boom and bust kind of thing, but were able to actually sell the company to Embrace and Quist in the U.S. Started working as a venture capitalist in a couple of VCs in Israel. Thought I need a break, so I went to the U.S. to do my MBA in University of Chicago. Upon graduation, worked in McKinsey & Company in New York, doing consulting, went back to Israel and joined and co-started like with a group of founders, two telecom companies in emerging markets, one in India and one in Africa mostly. Then met my wonderful wife, which is a lot smarter and ambitious than me, and she wanted to pursue her master's, and I found myself going back to the States and living in Cambridge, where she pursued her master's in MIT. And that was the point when I decided, you know what, I actually want to start a new business. And that was the point where, you know, Sabi came to mind, and I'll walk you through it in a minute.
How did you come to the name Sabi? That's an interesting name. How did you derive that name?
So I derived the name because I basically wanted, you know, there are basically no more names for stuff in the world today. It's impossible to find a name or a cool name or something with a meaning. And add to that the fact that if you're actually trying to find a domain name for that, then everything is taken. So I was trying to find a cool brand name something with a meaning and a story and something that would be meaningful for me. And my wife also speaks Japanese, so I gave her a list of words. So, you know, come up with the words for joy, for fun, for whatever, love in Japanese, and let's see whether there's anything interesting in that. And then she came and she said, no, you know what, I actually got something that I think is brilliant, and that was the notion of sabi. So a big important aspect of Japanese culture is something which is called wabi-sabi. It's kind of a difficult thing to explain, but it means that the imperfection of things or the simplicity of things is actually what gives them character and makes them beautiful. So the sabi part of it is more that the aging of a product or the small chinks and bits and pieces of that or time passing by actually had magic and more joy to an object. That a 500-year-old hardwood floor is nicer than a brand new one. That an object that, you know, that a statue that sits on the, you know, on the lawn for like 50 years, all of the wind and tear and wear and stuff like that, that's what adds the character and the beauty to the product. And I thought that's a very becoming name for what I was looking for. Then I was fortunate enough to buy the name for not obscene amount of money, the domain, and that's where we have the sabi.com. I think it's also a joyful kind of thing. Even if you don't understand the meaning, I think the word is it's just like a fun word and an easy to remember word.
Well, it is, and I kind of liken your story. It's almost as if there is, maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but it's almost as if there is no very literal translation to the word. I mean, there's the translation, as I understand what you were saying, is it is a feeling. It is an essence, but it's not necessarily something you say that the light is on, the light is off. I mean, there's some interpretation allowed there.
Yeah, very much so, and I think it's a very Japanese thing, and I probably even, after I read a lot about it, I don't think I totally fully grasped it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm of Scandinavian descent myself, and there's a word that the Finnish folks use, the Finlanders, and that word is sisu, S-I-S-U, and it is, here again, does not have a literal translation, but it's stamina, it's fortitude, it's intestinal fortitude, or some people refer to it as having guts, having the courage to move on. And it's almost, the word itself, the way it is pronounced, almost is more of an indicator of what it means than the meaning, because there's no literal translation. So as I can say, that person has sisu. If I say they have sisu, I think you could probably tell that they've got something strong going on. They've got something that they're working on, and they're working hard, and they're going to see it through to the end. And then sabi, not that it's related to sisu, but I mean, as far as the approach, might have some of the same effect. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I fully agree, and I think it's slightly more towards an object than towards a person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very, yeah, it's, a, you know, it's also difficult to, you know, I think people from the specific area, and, you know, Japanese people, it's very clear to them, but it's difficult for other people to grasp. But I think it has just a positive meaning around it, which I think is something that is very important for me for the brand.
Right. As I was looking at the website, I noticed that you have apparently done an awful lot of research into these products and the need for these products and so forth. And why don't you just tell us what you've done with regard to research, and if this is, I think, a good lesson in what people need to consider when they're thinking about starting something, especially pulling it up right out of the ground, basically, the research that's that should possibly be involved. Maybe it's based on who has some of the wherewithal or the resources for it, and that might limit people, but nonetheless, Let's talk about what you did and how that's certainly good to emulate, I think, based on what I've read and we've talked about.
Sure. So I did a lot of research, but I think it also comes from the caveat in my business, which means that I'm not exactly my, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I'm not exactly my target audience. So there was this inherent gap. Now, overall, and I'm very roughly kind of explaining something, is I think most businesses or new businesses comes up from two areas, which is either a domain expertise or a need base. So the domain expertise is, you know, someone who worked, I live in Palo Alto, so I'm very attuned to the more technology side. So someone who worked for 30 years for Intel, and he was, you know, he was a semiconductor architect, and then he come up with a notion of how to do something on the architecture in a better way. So he has a strong domain expertise. So that's one side. The other side is usually a need base, which you see it very, very common now in the internet day, and I think this is more of the, I would say, weekend discussion around the table, as I can't believe nobody is doing this and this, or I was trying to do something on the web and I couldn't find something, so I created something, which is usually put the person in a very strong kind of, I am my user, and I couldn't understand why there's no such thing. Now, for me, neither of these things were relevant, and I also am very deep research-oriented, so I like to get like the actual data for that, and I was trying to find an idea that would really excite me, and I started looking at tons of data and tons of stuff and research and attended conferences and stuff like that. And what really, really came up as a strong blip on my radar was the fact that there's a massive maturization of the population in the world. Now, when you start to look more in depth into this data, then you see that people that are 50 plus have 91% of the net worth, which makes sense because usually my dad has more net worth than what he, because he accumulated over a lot longer period of time. So that's one, but 91% is a very, very high number, and they have, it depends what number you look, from 60 to 67% of the consumption and 60 to 66% of the net income. So I looked at that and said, okay, so there's like these 50-plus people that have a very, very high area of concentrated wealth. However, only 5% of the marketing budget is catering to them. And within that 5%, 92% is pharmaceutical products and pension and financial products, which if you kind of think of what kind of advertising do you see on TV that cater to this demographic, it's always, are you sick? Are you not feeling well? Do you have a problem with this and that and that? Well, that's how the pharmaceutical industry is always marketing, and that's what they've done. Same goes for the pension side, is have you thought about your loved ones? Have you thought... It's always with a twist of negativity, but that's basically what people advertise for this age group, which, A, I didn't like this advertising thing. I think things should be a lot more positive and enforcing rather than a negative. But, B, the number means that there is this, you know, people that have 91% of the net worth, but only 1% to 2% of the marketing budget is catering to them. So that was the start of my journey, something which I thought, you know what, there's a very interesting gap in here. But by having found this gap, I didn't know whether there's a need. Maybe there's a gap because people forever try to accommodate these people and, you know, there was nothing nice. Or there's no reason to actually do something differently. So I basically did two things. One, I started, you know, and it's an easy exercise. Just go and type in on your, you know, on Google, elderly products for the aging, whatever word you want to use. And it's simply, for lack of a better word, you get some disgusting stuff. Like, there's a lot of websites that cater to these things, but they always cater either to the caregiver or to the, the kid who wants to buy something for the... I just didn't like the way that it looks and feels. Nobody looks at this population as a customer, as a consumer, as someone who knows what he wants to, and need. And I started doing research at that point just to understand whether there's actually a need. And we interviewed close to 5,500 people and realized there's basically three distinct differentiation for this population than the generation before them. So the first one is that they have their own physical needs, which is not new to anybody. So, you know, it can be a back, the back hurts a bit, a reduced eyesight, arthritis, which is a lot more common now than it used to be before because people used to spend a lot of time in front of a computer, massive rise in diabetics and obesity, which, you know, it's something that happened in the world in the last 25 years. So there's a rise of that, and now these people get that. Male over the age of 50 had a heart attack, so they need nitroglycerin handy. There's some things which, other than the trivial maturization of the population, these are specific to our age and time. So I thought that's an interesting thing. The second thing is that there's a different kind of aspects of demographic. I think the main one is that people, upon reaching the age of 65, retirement age, they just going and retiring in Florida, which used to be like part of the American structural dream, is just not very, that's not what people thrive and wants to do. And hence why there is a very, very big shift in the old growth in the aging in place, kind of the fact that people need to address, to tweak their house to cater to their needs. People travel a lot more divorcees. People are a lot more liberal, so when you look at drug use, you see that people over the age of 55 and 60 are the second largest like drug users in the U.S., sexually transmitted disease, because they're a lot more liberal and a lot more divorces. There are a lot of like random kind of points of data, which is very different than the generation before. And lastly, they have a very different set of values. So liberalism is one of them, but also this is the generation that came up with recyclability, with organics, with giving back a lot more. People are very active in non-for-profit. They're a lot more internet and web savvy than the generation before them. They're a lot more attuned. They're connected. They all have a cell phone. It's just a very different. And I thought, you know what? This age bracket has a lot of differences than the age bracket that people kind of think that they are. And I thought that's an interesting space. So this gap and this need together is something that I think might makes it interesting to launch a company. And then that was the point where I launched officially Sabi.
It's I'm just sitting here marveling at everything that you've learned through your research and how much of it is basically the things that we have discussed on our radio show with a myriad of guests, be they caregivers, be they doctors, be they lawyers, Indian chiefs, whatever. When we discuss the boomer cohort a lot on this show because that's what we do. That's our cohort. We're in that cohort. And I did not hear that anything that you said that was contrary to anything that I have already heard any of the other experts in other areas talk about. I think you are so right on with your assessments. It's almost scary, Asaf. I tell you, it's obviously very well done research. And anything that we've read, Deborah and I have read or have heard, that what you say holds a lot of water. Holds a lot of water, and I commend you for coming up with. I guess coming up with the same thing. There were no surprises. Or let me ask you this. Were there any surprises to your mind? Maybe that's a better question.
So in my mind, I think that one of the biggest surprises is basically breaking down the kind of like the pre kind of thought that people have for what is elderly or aging or stuff like that. People always have a certain vision in their mind of what it actually is. And, you know, even we can have a long discussion about that, but, you know, boomers are not, it's not one uniform kind of thing. There are wealthy one and non-wealthy one, and people that live in Phoenix are very different than people that live in New York, and there's a full motion of urbanization. There's a lot of nuances, but overall, it's this entire demystification of what is perceived as aging, which I think is very, very different than what I had in mind. usually when, and it doesn't matter how many times I can tell people that, you know, Sabi is a brand for boomers, and then they always come up with, why don't you offer something like, you know, which, and usually the product that they come up with is for 80 plus, something for advanced Alzheimer's, which is, I'm not saying that there's no need and it's not an important thing, but that's slightly more on the older age. And people have a very different and difficult thing to grasp what is defined as boomers. They can state it, they can repeat it, but in their mind many times, it's someone who's significantly older.
Well, none of us baby boomers ever want to admit that we're getting older. That's part of.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah,
that's part of the deal. I'm 65 years old, but and I've said it enough times on the radio show that a lot of people know that I'm 65. But do I feel 65? Even with all of my ailments and maladies, whatever they might be, in my mind, I'm certainly not 65.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's just the state of mind of this population, mm-hmm. which is a lot more vibrant and active and joyful and young.
Right.
And I think it's you know, when you look at it, the theme as an overall umbrella of all the things that I said, I think that's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very different state of mind than the generation before.
Well, Deborah and I have kind of coined the term boomerdom. Boomerdom is a state of mind. It's not a location. It's a state of mind. And it's whatever goes on in the mind of the boomer, which is 78 million strong in this country. But nonetheless, that's where you exist in some level or shape or form. You exist in boomerdom, and it's more of a, it's not a demographic, as when they say boomers are people born between 46 and 64.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a demographic. It's more of a psychographic.
I fully agree, and I see it daily.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now you came up with this idea, and you found through your research that there was a need for some type of product. How did you choose that particular product or these products that are on your Sabi.com site?
So I'm going to slightly bore the listeners with a bit of like business kind of analysis on that.
Oh, let's
so
do it.
So once we define that Sabi is going to be a brand for baby boomers, I wanted to find a combination of things. One, I had very limited funding, and I wanted to launch a line of products. I don't like it when someone is launching just one product, because then you know, we basically have all of your eggs in one basket, and it has a potential to be a one-hit wonder, but if it's not, then what? You just worked for 2 years, and it's not working well. So I wanted to have something which has, you know, the potential to launch a full solution. That was one. The second thing is since I had limited budget, I couldn't go and do something, you know, a new something very, very big that has very, very high cost of inventory, of manufacturing, of tooling, of molding, and all of these things. So I needed to find something which is smaller. Then one of the things that also is a business thing is that if you actually have a very, very limited marketing budget, the way for you to get the maximum impact is to go after unbranded areas in the market and basically brand them. So I try and investigated different companies that I like what they've done, and I figured, okay, well, basically the question that I ask myself is what's going to be the DNA of Sabi, and I'll give you some example of three companies that I found that I really, really like. One of them is a company called OXO, which does kitchenware. Another company is called Simple Human, which does trash cans. And another one is called Safety First, which is all about safeguarding the house from newborns and, you know, toddlers.
Uh-huh.
And all of them basically went to a market before Simple Human, you know, started the $250 trash can. There were trash cans, but they were not branded, not visually appealing, not superior functionality. And just by them branding it and making it as an area of focus and not as a side kind of product, I think you get a significant amount of followership and people are willing to pay for the enhanced function and usability. And that's what I addressed. So I started looking. I narrowed down to different fields. One is this line, which is called Vivacity, which is all about pills and supplements dispensers. I just saw, I used to hate, you know, my wife was pregnant at that point and she needed a place to carry her prenatal vitamins and instead of carrying them in the Ziploc. And my mom, who's a very stylish woman, also started taking like a couple of vitamins and one prescription pill, and she didn't have where to carry it. So I thought there was an interesting space in that. And then we basically started tackling this product, this line of Vivacity, which is all about pills and supplements, which naturally, people, the older the people are, the more, you know, prescription pills they actually use, with a massive spike of supplements for the baby boomers.
A couple of things you said there, just I'm writing notes as you're talking. When you said that you didn't like the fact that you could have just one item and it could be a one-hit wonder and then just disappear after a couple of years, we do the same thing. And it's interesting. We're in completely different and divergent businesses. But I call it, in our business, I call it multiple streams of income. We have a radio show. We are starting to solicit advertising for it. We have an online magazine. We're soliciting advertising for it. We have some products that we're going to be doing as an affiliate on our website and selling other people's products on our website. That's another stream of income. We publish mini books for people that want to have their story in a mini book and hand it out as a promotional piece. That's another stream of income. We help people write, and Deborah uploads e-books. That's another stream of income. So, I mean, we've got multiple streams of income all involved in the dissemination of content, good content. So we have a thread that runs through it, but we've got all these things. And it sounds like that's been, based on what I saw on your website currently, it sounds like you're going to be doing some of the same types of things, multiple streams of income.
So it's not exactly the same. So because we are not about multiple, we're still very much focused on the fact that we are just going to create beautiful, more functional products catering to baby boomers and above, you know, and younger people as well, because our products are really good for prenatal vitamins, for instance. Mm-hmm. So our main focus is going to be retail, but online is a channel as well. And I'll give you why it's not different streams. So I don't want to shift Sabi.com to be a website catering to different baby boomers products or products that we haven't created. So I don't want to be a curator of other people's products. I don't want to be a warehouse or an option to sell other people's products. I want to create a brand. It's a lot similar to, you know, with all of the modesty, but just to make the point, like a Procter & Gamble which has different brands within it, but they only sell their brands with a focus that most of it is going to be on the, you know, on the retail front. So that's what we're trying to do, more of a consumer package, consumer durable good company, and that's our focus. It's not, I don't want to start bringing different venues of revenue streams, because I think for me, retail and online are by far the biggest sources of revenue. And I always believe in focus. I think you get the best results by that. And I prefer to be laser focused on these channels and on these solutions.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I was just seeing some parallels between the fact that you have more than one product as Sabi and as Boomer and the Babe Incorporated, we have more than one product. So that's basically what
I completely understand it, but when you create a specific product, then, you know, especially a more physical product,
uh-huh,
then you are a lot more limited in your options.
Well, that is true. I mean, you have a tangible product. We are greatly involved in intangibles. There's no doubt about it. That's anytime you're selling advertising and you're selling the word and whatever else, and you're disseminating information, that's very intangible. So I know I understand it was exactly what you're saying. The other thing you mentioned is you made some very brief references. You were talking to how people find not your product, but products that are similar in function, not functionality, but as far as what they're designed to do. And go over that one more time with me as far as, if you don't mind, what was it you said about that?
So just imagine yourself in a regular shopping environment.
Right.
Now, sometimes you come to a shop because you have a predetermined kind of thing of what you're looking for to buy. Let's say, for instance, you need, in my case, you decided you want a pill cutter, okay? Mm-hmm. Because why? Because today's prescription is so big, and people are switched from like 100 milligram to 500 milligram, and nobody needs that. So you find yourself cutting every night half of your pills. Doesn't make any sense. You say, you know what? I actually think to buy a pill cutter. Let's say you decided to go to a store and not to go online on Amazon or whatever. Then you go to the store and you are randomly seeing a place where it's located. And now you have a choice between two products. One is something which looks a white label of Walgreens, for instance. Doesn't look very functional. It's a cookie cutter. It's in a very non-appealing plastic bag. And the other one is part of a more extended line, which you see 6 or 8 products over there. And it's a lot better design, and it's a lot nicer, and it looks better function, and it has a lot more appealing color and stuff like that. And it has a brand name, and it converses to you in a different kind of manner. Now, one costs X, and the other one costs 2X. The branded one costs 2X. And then it's a question of how you feel about yourself, which there's a lot of research on the marketing side of what value do you put on the product just other than the function? Is it a treat to yourself? Is every time you're using a product, do you feel good? The best example is like, let's say you bought a really, really nice shirt by Armani. Now, every time you put it, it's like for a special event. You put it on, you feel good, although it's technically 99% of the people would not even understand that it's an Armani and would think it's a Gap. But for you, it means something. And people are willing to spend money on it, and people get a lot more incremental joy during the reusability of the product throughout the time. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to take an unbranded area and brand it. Now, by branding it, it means another thing. A, we market it as opposed to the brands that do not market it. B, this is our focus, just making the best products that are pill dispensers, for instance, on that line. So I'm asking every beginning of the month, my product manager is calling 25 to 50 people and say, do you like the product? What you didn't like? What would you do different? What product would you add? So, for instance, now we're adding a pill popper, something to take the pills out of an aluminum foil. Because some of the people said, you know what, we could actually use something like that, which is not too complicated, but we constantly thrive to improve our products. We have a version 1 in the market. Some of them I love, and some of them I think we can do better. So now we're trying to fix them and improve them. And constantly we thrive to make them better. And let's say we have a pill box, but it's not big enough. Now let's add 4 more sizes and different colors and different stuff like that. So I think by us addressing a specific market in a focus versus someone who's just half-endedly kind of like put a product there, we're just going to be more better and give a better solution for our target audience.
Asaf, I have to do a couple of promotions. Speaking of promotions, I'm going to play a couple of pieces here, some messages. And then when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about your design and how you're involved in design and what you do to create your design. So we'll be back right after these two messages.
Sure.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the 2nd and 4th Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the 4th Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the Food Bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back at with Arizona Boomer Radio with Boomer the Babe Show. We are talking to the CEO and founder of Savvy.com, Asaf Wand, and he's been regaling us with interesting information about business and the design and research and so on, and how he's developed this product. And as I was looking on his website, I was looking at these products that people, and I'm going to say this, Asaf, and I hope you don't take offense. The products that you're doing, you said you've created a new product in a niche, and you've kind of redefined it. I think that's safe to say. But people are so used to seeing it in other forms. How many people do you know that before you came along simply had a pill dispenser or a pill keeper of some sort that was given to them when they went to some kind of an expo, and they were given away free as a promotional product, and they're functional, but there's nothing special about them, that's for sure. And I think what you've done, I'm not trying to equate it with those, but you've certainly taken that and used a lot of ingenuity and a lot of design. So let's talk about how you get that design. And my question then is, are you the head designer? Are you the one that comes up with the look and the feel and the product makeup, or do you have?
I'm probably the worst person to like sketch anything in my with my hands, and you know, even if I was good, I would have probably looked for external help. And I'm a big believer that wherever there is a gap and a need for me and something like that, I should thrive to find help with the highest the most professional people around. So in this case, for Savvy, for the Vivacity line, I think we were super fortunate to bring in as a partner Yves Bachar and Fuse Project. So just like 20 seconds, Yves Bachar is one of the world's like leading industrial designer. He did the one laptop per child. He did the new Herman Miller sail chair, Jobon product. He's a very, very well-known and a very, very good designer who was very passionate about the project. So we were very fortunate to have him. Then we have, for the next line, which we'll probably talk later, we have another leading design shop called Barber and Oscar, which are British and just did the Olympic torch. And they're very, very, you know, they're very, very good with a spike and a different kind of thing. So, again, I was looking for a design studio which encapsulate everything that I was looking for, something which is very aesthetic and functional and modern. And when you start doing the research for these products, then you actually realize there are specific aspects that are key. And I'll give you some examples. One, the whole ritual of taking a pill is a very negative ritual in our mind. It's an annoying chore that we have to do. And just think of even the functionality of opening a pill box, pouring it in your hand, putting it in your mouth, and then taking it, and it's a very repeated process. There's very, very few products that you actually interact with daily, constantly, probably some of your kitchenware is in your bed, but in your toothbrush. There's very, very few products like that you constantly interact with daily, and especially products that have a very negative connotation for you. So one aspect is we try to make them a lot more joyful. We had a more vibrant colors. We made them as a more of a personal statement. Then another thing is that we tried to change the ritual. We played a lot with having a physical feedback and having some sounds and different usability and functionality. So it would, I wouldn't say make it your most joyous moment of the day, but at least make it a lot, you know, at worst a neutral moment of the day from a negative one. Now, this negativity of ritual and usability actually creates a very bad aspect, which is there's a problem with compliance. And we realized that by using our products, we actually significantly improve compliance because people travel with them. People are not ashamed of, you know, going for lunch and pulling their supplements in the middle of the lunch and using it. It's actually a nice conversation piece. And these are all things that we really, really value. Now, since I don't think that I'm the source of every good idea in the world, I realize that designers are a lot more creative and thoughtful than me, and I can get 40 brains of people to work on a project rather than just my brain. So we have a massive amount of brainstorm sessions. We have a lot of like research aspects where we are following up on people on their daily routines. We photograph them, we film them, we see how they use their pills and vitamins. We interview them, what they don't like, what they do like. And that's how we come up with the ideas of the products. And as I said before, we're also interviewing them at the beginning of the month to come up with some ideas that kind of slipped, below the radar.
Well, it's obvious in looking at the products online that there's been a great deal of thought that's gone into it. I mean, there's a couple of them there that I just go, wow, this is really nice. That one that you have that's like in its own, I think you may even call it the portfolio. Is that?
Yeah, the folio. Yeah.
The folio. And there's the and I'm not remembering quite exactly, but there's the one that has the days of the week and it's on a clip. You take it out of the clip and you can put it somewhere else. And create your purse and your wallet, your purse or your pocket. And,
so I'm actually using this product when I'm traveling. This is what I'm using. So so just as we use a really, really top design firm, we're also using a leading branding firm called Tattoo and a guy called Vishwa Marwa, who's helping us coming up with all of these, you know, the taglines, the names. So each of the products have a name. We have the folio, we have the crush, we have the clip, we have the holster, we have each of them have a different kind of name, which I think also adds some whimsy to something which, let's put it, is not the most fun activity during the day.
Well, it certainly makes the fact that you've got to go into your purse or into a cabinet at home or whatever, wherever it might be, into your pocket at a luncheon, let's say, it makes something that is not well regarded, at least tolerable. And I think in many cases, that's a big jump.
Yeah, so that's how we looked at it. We also, and I think it's important also to state, we also erred in a lot of ways, and I'll give you an example. So I looked at so much data and looked at averages and what's the average consumption of pills and stuff like that, and that's how we structured the first line. And then we realized that there are actually three distinct users of pills. I know that I'm going a lot more specifics now in the usage of pills and stuff like that. So I would say one is the heavy supplement users, you know, and supplements are massive and very, very big. It's enough to see a fish oil kind of pill, and it's the size of a small car. And, you know, it's significantly bigger than a prescription drug.
Right.
Then there is the other side, which are chronic disease users, and I think diabetics is the biggest one. People switch from a zero pill prescription regime to a 12 to 18 pills in a second. The second someone tells them, you do know that you're diabetic, and there are 50 million diabetics in the U.S. now. And the third one is more, I would say, the real the older people, just people that can be 80 years old, and they use a lot of like mix and you know, cholesterol and blood and pressure and specific pills and stuff like that. Now, a lot of people take 25 and 30 pills a day, and we never took that into account. So now we're doing an extension line, which is going to be ready by the end of the year, which is called, we call it Sabi Plus. Basically, same but more functional containers with bigger capacities.
Wow, that's really nice. And here again, I've seen some containers out there, but they're always a throw-in. They're always a free giveaway, and they therefore have whatever value those things have. And it would be very nice for people to have something that they would certainly probably enjoy using much more than what their standard usage is. And then there's always the person that just leaves the pill bottle in their pocket or wherever, and they just dump it right out of their pill bottle right into their hand and take it with a glass of water at lunch. I mean, there's all kinds of extremes, aren't there, in what people are doing short of Sabi?
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And I have in my room that I'm sitting in here probably 150 products that are out there. We're trying to take the good stuff and then trying to avoid the bad stuff.
Right, right. Now, what's on the horizon for Sabi? What is there that you're looking at? We were talking about some things that you're doing as we speak. Do you care to address any of that now?
Sure. So we keep on pushing the Vivacity line. We want to have a full array of products. As I said, you know, a pill popper would come, something to open pill boxes. Some people have arthritis and they need some help. Everything is somewhat childproof, but it becomes really, really people-proof in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to constantly expand the line, and we're going to have the Sabi Plus. We're also we're close to finish doing an app, which is going to be a free app that we're going to give away, which is more of a pill reminder, but also just reminder to breathe, to inhale for a second, to think, to clear your mind, basically elevating your everyday with small moments of joy. This is how we look at our mission. And we just kicked it off a month and a half ago. I think it's a lot more ambitious project from our side. It's the next line, which we called Agility, which has to do a lot more with the aging in place aspect, which is the fact that upon reaching retirement age, most of the boomers that we interviewed and the data shows, their wish is not to move someplace and retire, but to remain active. A lot of them are going to work a lot longer. A lot of them are going to start, you know, travel the world now that the kids are not around, that they finished paying for their kids' college funds and all of these things. They're going to be very active in non-for-profit. A lot of them are going to take a second or a third career. There's a lot more things, but the main aspect is that people are going to stick in their house and going to stay a lot longer in their house. And for that, they need to cater and tweak the house to cater to their needs. And that's the next line, which is called Agility, is all about things that improve your quality of life around the house. We kicked it off a month and a half ago with a top design firm in London called Barber and Oscarby, which I mentioned before, did the Olympic torch, but they both are architects, and they did a lot of furnishings and stuff like that because we wanted someone who really understands the aesthetics of what people put in their house, because people spend a lot of money on redecorating, redoing their house, refurnishing it, whatever, like just doing a massive renovation. And I think they deserve to have products that help them in a more stealthy manner, but in a more aesthetic manner as well.
And you're undertaking that project as we speak. You said, how are you proceeding? I mean, what are some of the steps that you're doing to develop that product?
So now we're at the research phase. We basically we put cameras in many people's houses. We're interviewing dozens of people about how they go about their daily routine. What's their, you know, it can be from waking up and your back hurts a bit to walk into your bathroom, to using the bathroom, to using the toilet, to go around and making your food. There's a lot of things, and we break all of them into small components, and we're trying to understand whether we can improve all of these things and where can we have the most influence and the most impact, and do it in a very aesthetic and functional way. So that's the phase now. Then we're going to shift into brainstorming. Then we're going to start designing specific products. We usually try to pursue one by one kind of like areas. So it can be, you know, the living room or the kitchen or grips and holes around the house, and we're going to come up with a full solution based on that and then going to keep on expanding that. So it's going to take probably close to a year until we're going to have products in the market from that side, from that line, but we are very, very actively working on it now.
So which room are you going to undertake first?
Let's keep it under wrap until we fully decide ourselves.
Okay, very good. That's fair. I just thought maybe I'd get some breaking news here. What the heck, you know? Well, Asaf, I tell you, you are one very interesting gentleman, and I'm certainly glad that you've been on the show. Why don't you take this moment to do some more or do some shameless self-promotion as far as how people get in touch with you or find your products, obviously Sabi.com, but are there any other outlets and locations and so on and so forth? Just anything you'd like to know, people to know about what it is that and how they can get hold of you.
Sure. So, as you said, it's Sabi.com. We are very actively kind of working with retailers to put our products in retailers' hands. So if any, you know, independent pharmacy thinks that our product can be a good mix, I'll be very, very happy if they contact me. I'm also very open. You know, my email is my first name, ASSAF@Sabi.com. It's Asaf@Sabi.com. And I actually, you know, I encourage people if they have interesting ideas for products, they want to brainstorm, they want to give us feedback on our current ideas. They hate our products. Anything, I think that's the only way for to improve. We're a young company. We always strive to improve. So you know, and my email is very, very open. I'm very reachable. I think that's the only way for, you know, to improve. And that's basically it.
Oh, very good. I wish you nothing but good success. I'm sure you're going to be successful. Is there ever a chance that I'm going to be on an airplane somewhere and I'm going to open an airline catalog and see your products?
I don't know, because most of these airline catalogs don't, you know, doesn't make a lot of sense on a business sense. You know, when you look at, you know, we can go into the specific data on of these specific catalogs, the airline ones. When was the last time you actually ordered one? I think once there's going to be more active internet and the whole purchase activity is going to be linked to your screen in front of you, that's going to considerably increase the conversion, and then we might do something. But at this point, I don't know if it's good enough for the brand and it's the right thing, but we are in several catalogs. I think we're in Gold Violin and Boomer's First and several of these catalogs for now.
Okay, very good.
And anytime, you know, any person who wants help with us sending, you can download the catalog from our website or any of these things.
Very good, very good. Well, as I said, Asaf, it's been a pleasure meeting you on the phone, and good luck in your future endeavors, and thanks for being with us on Arizona Boomer Radio, the Boomer the Bay program.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the talk. It was a great talk. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, and I'll be getting in contact with you very soon, just shortly after this program.
Thank you.
Thanks to
all the audience for listening. If they had, you know, if they lasted up until now hearing my blurb, I really appreciate that.
I'm sure they probably have enjoyed it immensely as much as I have. Thanks again.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. We had our conversation today with CEO Asaf Wand and founder of Sabi.com, a new health and wellness startup opportunity that's on the internet with all kinds of new designs for products that you're used to seeing. But believe me when I tell you, you've never seen them look like this, and you've never seen them this functional. So go ahead and take a look at Sabi.com, and then if you have any comments, let Asaf know what you think about his products. He'd be more than willing to help to listen to anything that you have to say. We're going to be back again tomorrow at our normal time, 10 o'clock in the morning, Arizona time, West Coast, and 1 o'clock East Coast with another fine guest. Until then, enjoy your day, everybody, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Take care now. You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Arizona Boomer Radio is produced by the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated and can be heard Monday through Friday. You can sign up for their online magazine at boomerandthebabe.com. To reach the Boomer and the Babe, email host@boomerandthebabe.com or friend them on facebook.com/boomerandbabe. And on Blog Talk, you can friend them at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Follow their tweets at twitter.com/boomerandbabe. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And remember, at 50, you're just getting started.